the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the telling of Jesus' birth is done in a simple and plain way. These are the stories that we can remember, the Christmas pageants that are done all over the world. But this morning we are going to hear a different Christmas story, the one from the Gospel of John. We will soon hear about God becoming flesh, known as Jesus, and bringing light and life to a hurting world. Jesus changes the world by dwelling among us and empowering us as a people of faith. And then the second reading is from 1 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul is giving instructions to the new church about how to behave and to live in community. You see, the church at that time was having trouble and quarrels and not getting along, so they needed some words of wisdom. The way of life together in this community that Paul proposes is in direct opposition to everything the world stood for back then. This appeal from the Apostle Paul goes against the grain of the self-centered world. Paul is naming the work of the Spirit in the midst of community and in the midst of life. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of simple truths, reminds us of what it means to live a Christian living. We should have a positive attitude, an openness to God, a willingness to share love and light, and a thankful spirit always. Hear now these amazing and poignant words.
Good morning. Thanks for the spoiler. Jeez. Okay, so John tells us, there is a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, and the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And from Thessalonians, get along amongst yourselves, each of you doing your part. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to their needs. And be careful when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God.
In an elementary school in Newburyport, Massachusetts, the first year music teacher stands on the sidewalk as children hop off their bikes and get off the bus and get out of their parents' car with his guitar, singing. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine. The little kids, kindergarten, first, second, third graders, often come running. Is the music man here today? Can you imagine being a little kid and being greeted by a smiling, guitar-holding young man, Gardner is his name, who's singing? Pretty cool. He says he does it well, partly to learn their names, and partly because why? We hear music when we go into the bank, right? We hear music when we go into the grocery store. Why shouldn't we hear music when we start our day? And music like This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. TV stations heard about it in Massachusetts and came one morning and were interviewing it, and one cute little third grader said, it fills my heart to hear the music. And I don't think he was kidding. I think it truly does feed him and fill his heart. And Gardner says he loves seeing the smiles of the children as they walk up, wondering which song he's going to sing that morning. But he always makes sure once a week to sing this little light of mine. Imagine if each of us woke up with someone singing to us, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. So we're in this season of light. For Christians, it's a season of Advent. For our Jewish brothers and sisters, it's the season of Hanukkah. I just read this amazing article about Hanukkah. And in it, the authors were truly inspiring and explained how, at the time of Hanukkah, things weren't going real well. There were wars, there was violence, people really weren't getting along. And that's not even considering what was going on in people's personal lives. And then the authors claim, but really, has the world changed so much? There's wars, there's violence, and there's a lot of hard stuff in our lives. And they were claiming that the true meaning of Hanukkah, the true miracle of Hanukkah, is maybe not that a small group of Jewish rebels took on this strong Greek army and won in a war back in 165 BCE, or maybe that the true miracle of Hanukkah wasn't that there was enough oil, even though there was so little to last. What they argue is that the true miracle of Hanukkah is rededicating our lives to the source of all, to God. You see, their temple, their holy place, their sacred place was destroyed. And Judah Maccabee, their leader, this group of Jewish rebels, their leader said, no, we're not going to give up. We are going to clean up our temple. We are going to rededicate ourselves to living like God wanted us to live. And that's what they did. They cleaned up the temple. They cleaned up their holy space. They lit those candles again, dedicating their lives to God, to the source of all. The opportunity this week to delve into these scripture passages, which are, by the way, lectionary scripture passages, which means they're assigned for this week. So I think we're trying to be told something in these scripture passages, and kind of slowing down and really delving into them. I like doing that. I like digging into the scripture passages. That first one that we heard from the Gospel of John, the Word becomes flesh. Well, that's kind of an interesting thing, right? But they're saying Jesus, the Word, all that God has told us through the Old Testament is becoming flesh, is becoming real in the person of Jesus. And they're saying that that's important. So year after year, this Jesus baby is born, and it's supposed to mean something to us. It's supposed to inspire us. And that the light and love of God are in Jesus, of course, but are in us, as in each of us as well. And then that passage from Thessalonians, it's a great one. You actually heard the translation from the Message version. So if you go home to your Bible at home, it'll read a little bit differently. But the point is the same. Be kind. Live simply. Give thanks. Because the community at that time was having a hard time. They weren't getting along. There were divisions. And so the Apostle Paul just had to lay it straight and say, listen, guys, you're not doing it right. This is what you're supposed to do. Be kind. Live simply. Give thanks always. Live simply. So many of you have asked, in my house, is it chaotic and crazy having almost 5-year-old twins, and Christmas is coming, and Christmas. So I believe that often it is children and our youth that help to teach us the most in life. So my guys go on Saturday mornings to stretch yoga. Yes, I know yoga for 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds is an interesting thing to behold, I will admit it. It's not yoga quite as we usually probably picture it, but they go. It's all special needs kids, so that adds a whole extra layer to the complexity. But each Saturday morning, they start in the same way. They go get their yoga mat, they sit in a circle, and the woman who runs it, God bless her, Miss Alicia, hands out a bell and they ring the bell and they say their name and what makes them happy. So my little Lucas will say, my name is Lucas and pears and apples make me happy. Every single week, pears and apples. Oh wait, it gets better. Andrew rings the bell. Very cute, my name is Andrew. Ice cream, milkshakes, and gumballs make me happy. Well, I'm doing something right. I'm feeding them at least. Not milkshake and gumballs all the time, but they do love them. All the other cute kids in the room are like, my mommy, I'm happy about my mommy and my daddy and my kids are food, but you know. So we've been talking a lot in our house to maybe get them a little bit past just the ice cream and the milkshakes and the gumballs. What makes them happy? It's a good question. You should ask yourselves, what makes you happy? Ask the people you love what makes you happy. So I asked Andrew a couple days ago what makes him happy. Feedy pajamas and cookies. So we're broadening. We're at least not stuck on food, totally. It's funny, and yet it takes me back when I say my prayers and think the simple things in life. We could buy them so many toys. I don't really care. They want to be in their feedy pajamas and have some good food. The simple things in life. Just last week, we were teaching our confirmation class up in the youth room. David and I have the privilege of doing that. And of course, we were talking about Advent, and we gave out a sheet that's all about gifts. And one of the questions is, what's the best gift you've ever received? Now, me and my naive, kind of commercialistic mind was thinking, oh, they're gonna say like the latest iPhone or like some cool clothes that I know nothing about, but that's what they're gonna say, I bet. Not one of them. A family vacation when grandparents were able to go with them. A day in Boston and a concert they had been looking forward to. A homemade gift. And the list went on. Not one thing that we can go buy at Walmart or Target or wherever. They were all experiences and time. So maybe our children and our youth are trying to teach us something and remind us that we are called to live simple lives, where we love, where we include, where we welcome, where we embrace one another. But I get it. The to-do lists are long. The frenzy out there can get overwhelming. We gotta write Christmas cards, we gotta bake the cookies, we have to wrap all the presents perfectly, and so on. Yet maybe our faith is calling us to something different. It was a little post office in West Virginia, and Alice, a young mom, had escaped. Her children left them at home with their dad and was going out for a few errands, and she was looking forward to going to the post office. She knew the person that worked there, and just, it was a community post office. And she walks in, and there's a line almost out the door, and she kind of just got frustrated. And she walks in, and she's straining to see the people in the line, and she doesn't recognize any of them. And she notices the man at the front of the line kind of tapping his foot, but not like tapping his foot along to the beat, like angrily tapping his foot to Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree that's playing on the stereo. And then she notices the second man in line who keeps blurting out not the kindest of words to the post office worker about why couldn't they hurry up and he had places to go. And then the third woman in line was holding her packages just glaring. She looked over at the table, you know, where all the boxes are and people address their envelopes, and there's a broken stapler and a guy was angry at that, and people were kind of reaching over each other and they ran out of some size of envelopes, and it was a chaotic scene. And then the door opened and, you know, the jingle bells rang, so everybody kind of turns, and in comes this little old lady who's trying to prop open the door with her cane, and she's holding a package in a way too big pocketbook. So another woman helps her, and she comes in with a big smile on her face and starts chatting with the group, saying, I've come to mail this great Christmas tin. You see it? It was like a tin with an old Santa face on it. And I'm mailing it to my grandson. You see, when he was growing up, we used to bake these cookies together. They're pinwheel cookies. Have you guys ever had pinwheel cookies? See, I'm sending these to my grandson
because as soon as he graduated high school, he decided to enlist in the army. He always wanted to serve his country. But when he used to come to my house when he was a little kid, the first thing he would run for is this tin of pinwheel cookies. So I have to make sure it gets there before Christmas. And then if that wasn't enough, she's got everybody's attention, she whips out a picture of him. Seth, his name was. And shows everybody, see, this is who I'm sending it to. And immediately that guy in the front of the line, you know, that was tapping his foot kind of angrily, says, oh, ma'am, do you need help getting a box? I'll help you, and steps out of line and gets him a box. And the guy who was blurting words that we don't want to repeat here in church got out her red marker, said, this is my Christmas marker. And so she's writing his address with the red marker. And suddenly the mood kind of changed a little bit. And she's done with the box. Someone helped her get bubble wrap. She's got the box, she's got the address on there, and she kind of totters to the end of the line. And Alice, that young mother, says, please, go ahead of me. And then the woman who had stopped glaring by this point says, please. And that little old lady with her precious Santa tin was at the front of the line. And the woman who worked at the post office said, I guarantee this will get to your grandson before Christmas. And the little old lady in like what seemed like a finale turns around and says, and to think, I wasn't even looking forward to coming to the post office. But here I met all of you nice people. And she tottered off. Okay, so maybe we'll be the ones in the post office line, a little grumpier, a little crabby. Here listening to this 12-minute sermon is not going to take away our long to-do list. I know. The world is still a sad and heartbreaking place. We still have sadness in our own lives. And yet, this season of Advent, this season of light, we are called to be different than the rest of the world. We are called to be like Jesus. We are called to live simply, love abundantly, and to share that light that we each have inside of us. So, simple pleasures. Maybe it's hearing a song you love, sung by someone you love, or maybe just on the radio. Maybe it's being a little more patient. Maybe it's eating apples and pears and milkshakes and gumballs. Maybe it's receiving cookies from a loved one. But the simple pleasures, maybe it's even being in feety pajamas. But the simple pleasures of life. And that we can take this time in Advent, this busy, crazy, chaotic time, and rededicate our lives to the source of all, our awesome and creator God. So let's do it. Let's rededicate our lives to the simple things, to live like Jesus lived. Amen.